Okay, today's daf is Kiddushin Lama Gimel. We're going to start. I'll go back to the Tana Rabbanan at the two dots, like about 15 lines from the bottom. We'll just quickly review that because we're going to go through all different parts of that brayta today. Okay, for Ashley Mali Dvar Batino, Zavram Shem Ben Chana, Carmela Ben Ima, Orly Pnei Bar Recha Frida, Chaim Alk Esther Bat Zipor, Dene Wim Bar Chai Ruth, Yosef Ben Rechele, Bar Rivka, Rapali Shofalak Ben Bracha Bat, Yelmi Ben Bat Chai, Rina Chai Bat Shoshana, Yaakov Ben Rosa, Tai Rechel Bat Tamar Asara, Yilon Shem Chana Bat Tatar, Reza Bat Sarah, Tzvi Hirsch Ben Yaakov, Halevi Mela. Okay, Tana Rabbanan, Mipnei Seva Takum. So now we're going to talk about this pasuk, which again has two parts. Mipnei Seva Takum, Vahadarta Pnei Zaken. And then it says, Vyareta Melohecha. So, first of all, poetically, it just makes sense that they're repeating the same thing. Mipnei seva takum, v'hadarta pnei zaken. So the v'hadarta is like the takum, and the seva is like the zaken. It's called the chiastic structure where it flips. But the mefarshim are going to darshan. There's going to be three opinions about how to view this pasuk, and is it talking about two totally separate things? Is the zaken someone different from the seva? We're going to get into lots of questions. We're also going to talk about which questions they don't ask in the Gemara, which should have been obvious questions to ask, but yet aren't asked. So, Tana Rabbanan, Mipnei Seva Takum, Yachol Afilu Mipnei Zaken HaShamayim, maybe even a Rasha who's a Zaken, someone who's not a Tamid Chacham or not a good person, Tamid Lomar Zaken. So, if you just had Seva, you would have thought maybe not. But now they're saying, Tamid Lomar Zaken, Ve'ein Zaken. Sorry, you would have thought you would, just a Seva. Therefore, it says, Ein zaken ela chacham, shneamar asfali shebim ish mizaknei Yisrael. So seva would indicate any old person. Comes the zaken to qualify the seva, that it's only seva takum, mipnei seva takum, if he's also a zaken, if he's also a chacham, basically. Rabbi Yossi Aglili omer, ein zaken ela misha kana chochma, shneamar Hashem kanani reshit darko. So here he says, a zaken means a chacham, it's only misha kana chochma. And therefore, he says, Zaken is Misha Kana Chochma. But the assumption would mean he also thinks you should be, well, we're going to see exactly what the difference between them is in a minute. So let's hold off for 1 minute. Yachol Yamo Mipanav Mimachom Rachok. You might have thought, even if it's far away, Tamud Lamar Takum Vahadarta. Lo Amarti Kima Elevim Kom Sheishidor. We're going to talk about this correlation between Takum and Vahadarta. We're going to darshan it both ways, okay? That we learn from Takum and we learn from Vahadarta one to the other. That since there's only, you only have to do kima in a case where there's hidur. Now, it's not considered hidur. If somebody's very far away and I stand up, no one's even going to notice I'm standing up for them, and therefore, you don't have to stand up. Yechol yahadrenu b'mamon. Hidur often comes with also spending money. So maybe you need to spend money to do this mitzvah. Tamud lamar, takum v'hadarta. Now they're going to darshan it the other way. Ma kima she'en b'chesron kis. Standing up, there's no monetary. You don't have to pay to stand up. So therefore, af hidur she'en b'chesron kis. You might have thought, even if you're in the bathroom or in the Beit HaMerchatz, you have to stand up. It's obviously not exactly respectful if people are not appropriately dressed or not dressed at all to start standing up in front of someone in that environment. You might think you could kind of pretend you didn't see him. So therefore, this comes up often. It comes up in another context, which we're going to see later today. When it comes to weights and measurements, when you're selling things, you have to, it says, because you could trick people. And basically, you have to stand up to God, who will notice either which way. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer. Now we're going to have a third opinion. Remember, we had Tanakama who said that Mipnei Seva Takum means you don't have to stand up, right? Because it says Zaken, it means it's only if someone's a Chacham. And therefore, if they're a Rasha, it's interesting, by the way, they correspond opposites or Zaken versus Rasha, right? Another a Chacham versus a Rasha. Almost like at the Haggadah, right? That as if you're not, that's good. I just thought of that right now. If you're not a Chacham, then you're a Rasha, according
There's
to this.
There's a middle ground.
Right. In other words, you could obviously be a good person, but yet not a chacham. So then the question is, where would you fall according to this? Because zaken hashamai really means someone who's a rasha. So that's the way, anyway, it's translated. And then we had the other person who said, zaken means misha kana chochma. Okay, he didn't exactly specify more than that. And now we have a third opinion, which is Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer. I jumped at the gun. This isn't yet. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar omer minayin lezaken shelo yatriach. How do we know that the zaken should try to make sure not to bother everybody to stand up for him? So therefore, you shouldn't walk in a very populated place where he's going to cause all sorts of people to stop. Now, I told you before that we're going to read through this bright and go into detail. We're going to go into detail more about this later. Likewise, almost all the other lines we saw here, or I think all of them. So therefore, Talmud Lamar, zaken biareta. Zaken biareta means that the chacham also has to pay attention and not cause other people. He has to also be viareta. Because it says, Vadarta pene zaken viareta. No, what, you would put the psik after zaken. What are they saying? Because zaken is samuch to viareta. Also the zaken has to be fearful of God and therefore not cause other people to be bothered to stand up for him. Here's the third opinion now. Isi ben Yehuda omer, mipnei seva takum, afilu kol seva b'mashma. Okay, that includes everybody. So now they're going to go back. We're finished with the Braita. We're going to go back to Rabbi Yossi Aglili and Tanakama, the first two opinions. Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Hanu Tanakama, they seem to be saying the same thing. So what do they say? Ika benayu yanik v'chakim. Someone who's young and smart would be a nafkamina between them. Tanakama savar, yanik v'chakim lo. He thinks that a young person you wouldn't have to stand up for, because what does he say? Ein zaken ala chacham. He says zaken means chacham. That's it. That's synonymous. So zaken has nothing to do with this. Rabbi Yossi Aglili savar afilu. I'm sorry. Did I say that wrong? Even a yanik b'chakim, you wouldn't have to stand up for. Sorry. He says, I said this wrong. What he says is ein zaken ala chacham. But there's also, in other words, there's seva and there's zaken who's chacham. So therefore, it would include, as it's saying, that someone who's a zaken is someone who's both a zaken and a chacham. Whereas opposed to Rabbi Yossi Aglili says, ein zaken ela misha kana chochma. He translates the word zaken to not have anything to do with a zaken. He's saying zaken means, by the way, how does he translate it? Zaken, he's doing a notrikon. Ze, the zayin in zaken is ze. And Cain is Zeh Shekana. Okay, Zeh Shekana Chochma. I didn't explain it that way, but that's what he's saying. It's a notary cone. It's one of those words you darshan it. Whereas Zakein is now taken totally out of context, doesn't mean Zakein at all. It means Zeh Shekana Chochma. So therefore, he would think even if you're young and smart, you would also need to stand up for him. So basically, according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, it's just a Talmid Chacham, having nothing to do with his age or anything else. According to Tanakama, it's someone who's both old and Chacham. My time at Rabbi Yossi Aglili. So now what's his logic? Amar lacha, he would say to you, again, he's not here to tell us, but we're going to assume. If you really, the pasuk should have read like Tanakama, im kein nichtav rachmana mipnei seva zaken takum v'hadarta. It should have said, all of it shouldn't have listed it in this poetic manner, right? Again, he's ignoring poetry, Bichlal. He's saying, if the pasuk wanted to tell you that, it would have said very simply, Mipnei seva zaken takum bahadarta. Everything would be together in one phrase. And then you would know it would have to be an old chacham. So, Maishna de palginu rachmana, why did it split it? Lemeimar, deha lav hai, vaha lav hai. In other words, therefore, it's splitting it to say that there are two different things. Which means that according to him, number one, you have to stand up for a seva because he's old. And number two, you have to stand up for a zaken, who basically means a talmid chacham. He understands this pasuk as each part having nothing to do with the other. Follow? There's one command to listen to to get up for a seva, and there's another commandment to get up for a talmid chacham. Whereas Tanakama holds that it's all together. It's an old person who is a chacham, that it's all coming to describe this one person. So Rabbi Yossi Aglili sees this as two separate things. And what does he say? If you were right that it was all one thing, it would have put it all together. Okay, so now, Shmamina afilu yanik v'chakim. V'tanakama, so what would Tanakama react to his proof that it should have said, mipnei seva takum v'adarta, if it was all talking about one person? Mishum debay lemismach zaken v'yareta. The reason they didn't put this all in one phrase is because they wanted the zaken to be next to viareta. And it was, yes, in theory, if it was to say what I was saying, it would have put it all in one phrase. But it had some other agenda, which is it wanted to tell you this halacha of zaken viareta, that even the zaken has to have some yira in this picture, and therefore not be matriach other people. So therefore, it put them separately, because there was another agenda that the pasuk had to deal with. V'tanakama my taima. So now they say, Isal Kadesh. So now what's his logic? That's his reaction to Rabbi Yossi Aglili's comment about the pasuk. But now, what are we going to say? What's his reasoning? So, Isal kedat hafkidika amar Rabbi Yossi Aglili, im kein nechtav rachmana, mipnei seva takum vahadarta, takum vahadarta pnei zaken. Umidilo katav hachi, shmamin achadhu. What does he say? If you really want to view these as two totally separate commandments, one for an old person, two for a Talmid Chacham, then all the verbs that had to do with what you have to do should appear in both sides. It should have said, Mipnei seva takum vahadarta, and then takum vahadarta pnei zaken. Because it doesn't do that, it clearly indicates that this is all one and the same. He obviously looks at it as a more poetic structure. It's coming to teach the same thing, and therefore it's coming to tell you that it's one thing. It's the seva who is a zaken, who's also a chacham. Okay? So therefore, he says that proves it. Amar, so now we're going to go, so that's their machloket between the two of them. Now we're going to go back to all the lines in the Braita. Amar, yachol yahadrenu b'mamon, tamud lamar takum v'hadarta. So this shows, just like you stand up and it doesn't cost money, also the hidur doesn't require money. So now they say, what do you mean it doesn't cost money to stand up? Let's say somebody is piercing holes in a pearl, which is a very, right, it's expensive. This job is a very specialized job. He gets paid a lot of money for every minute of work. And now what happens? As a king comes by, he has to stand up. That's bitul malacha. In the minute that he's standing up, he's not doing his work. Okay? So therefore, what do you see here? He is batel mi malacha. So therefore, kima does have a financial aspect related to it. So now what do they say? No. Ela akish kima lihidur. Ma hidur she'en bo bitul, ap kima she'en ba bitul. Just like hidur doesn't have bitul malacha, what does hidur mean? Hidur means when you talk about hidur, you talk about spending money on something. You don't talk about not working to be mahadir. You talk about hidur generally, if we do have it associated with money, like for example, priyat hadar, you're supposed to have a special one, so maybe spend more money on it, or mahadrim and amahadrim, and others. It's to buy something extra. It doesn't mean to not work, to be matel mimelacha. So therefore, they're going to say, just like the hidur doesn't have bitul, af ki ma she'en ba bitul. So now they're saying that when you have to stand up, it's only in a case where you don't have to be batel mimelacha. Okay, we're going to talk about this a little bit further in a minute. Va'akishnami hidur l'kima. So now they're going to say, also hidur is going to be like kima. Ma kima she'en b'chesron kis, af hidur she'en b'chesron kis. Mikan amru, ein ba'alei umaniyot v'she'in la'amo mipnei talmidei chachamim b'sha'a she'oskim b'melachtan. So from here we learn that if a talmid chacham comes by and people are in the middle of working, they don't have to stand up out of respect for the talmidei chachamim. Okay, so they're basically saying that we're going to learn from hidur to kima, we're going to learn from kima to hidur, that even though kima you might have thought you would have to be mevatel melacha, you don't have to be because it's going to be similar to the hidur. So now they're claiming, okay, we're going to question this in a minute, that if you're in the middle of working and a talmid chacham walks by, you don't have to stop and stand up because that's bitul melacha and that's not part of the mitzvah. So now they're going to say, velo, is that not true? V'hatnan, doesn't it say in a Mishnah? Now here's a Mishnah. If you've ever learned the Mishnayot of Bikurim, they're very interesting. It describes the ceremony. Okay, it's very similar, by the way, again, relevant, to Arve Pesachim, when it describes what you actually do at the Seder. Okay, there's a bunch of Mishnayot that are descriptive, okay, as opposed to most of the Mishnayot, which tell you what you're supposed to do. These are more similar to Yoma, where it talks about what the Kohen Gadol did on Yom Kippur night, and it actually goes through like a person's experience. So when it talks about the Bikurim, one of the things that happens is when people bring their Bikurim to Yerushalayim, what does it say there? Kol ba'alei umaniyot umdim mipneihem v'shoalim b'shlomam v'omrim lehem achinu anshei makom ploni bo'achem l'shalom. Okay, they say, welcome, right? It's like this big, you imagine all these people going on the path to bring their Bikurim, and everybody that's on the way, that's in the middle of their work even, has to get up and greet them and say, ah, you're from this place, you know, bochem l'shalom. Okay, so what do you see here? That if for the Bikurim, right, for the people, the amcha, bringing the Bikurim, people have to stand up and respect, even if they're working, then obviously, talmidei chachamim, If a Talmid Chacham walks by and you're working, you're going to have to stand up for him. So now we're going to obviously have to come up with distinctions, right? What's the difference between these cases? For the Bikurim, you have to stop your work, but for the Talmidei Chachamim, you don't. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mipneihem Omdim, Mipnei Talmidei Chachamim Ein Omdim. In other words, just because we stand before the Mivi'ei Bikurim, it doesn't mean we have to stand for Talmidei Chachamim. So now we're going to learn two answers as to why this is the case. And then I'm going to suggest a third that doesn't come up in the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yossi Bar Avin, Bo'u re'e kama chaviva mitzvah v'sha'ata, shaharei mipneihem omdim, mipnei talmidei chachamim ein omdim. What do they say? This teaches you how important a mitzvah in its time is. Because when people are doing the bikurim at the right time, everyone's supposed to get up and stand for them. When a talmid chacham walks by, they don't even need to. So this shows you how important it is and how respectful it is when someone's doing a mitzvah in the right moment. V'dil mashane hatam. Maybe here and there they're suggesting a separate reason, which is de'im ken atam achshilan la'atid lavo. It could be that if people don't greet the Mivi'ei Bikurim, now this is a bit of a strange answer, the concern is if they don't get an appropriate greeting. Now you have to remember, it's a big tircha to bring the Bikurim to Yerushalayim, right? Like schlep them and, you know, again, you might have, I think you can be, right? Right, it's a big schlep to take your Bikurim, carry them, you know, you bring them in this tana, you carry them in. So it could be that people would say, oh, you know, if no one's even going to greet us, well, why should I bother doing this next year? So that's their concern. Okay, I thought of a different reason that the Gemara doesn't raise, which is that you have to think about what's the idea here. People are working, people are busy with their work. If they have to stop every time a Talmid Chacham walks by, or a Zakein, right, depending on how you understand it, they're going to be getting up all the time. Imagine also people worked in the shuk, and people are walking by in the shuk all the time. So you're doing your work, and every 2 seconds you have to stand up. You can't really do that. The Bikurim is a one-off. It happens once a year. To make people stop for a one-time event is not a big deal. But to make people stop on a daily basis seems to be a bit of a tircha, you know, and it would really get in the way of the work.
By the way, it's defined on the buses. You don't know the buses in Israel? It says, Bifnei Tzevatakum.
It says on the buses, Bifnei
Tzevatakum.
Right. Out of respect, stand up and get up and give him your seat. Right, yafeh. Right, that's a different meaning of it that they're not discussing here. But yes,
that to me is
exactly. So, okay. So what Deb is pointing out is something I wanted to discuss. I was talking to someone after Shir yesterday about it. Also, is that this whole concept of standing up? In a sense, it's a little bit. It's like doing the motions. You could just stand up, and it doesn't mean anything. You know that people can stand up out of respect, but what it's really trying to get at is. And we're going to see this later today, at what is respect really all about? And that it's not just about the technical thing of standing up and getting up. That doesn't mean anything. But it's really about it's about acknowledgement. It's about understanding your position in terms of the other person's position and respect in all sorts of ways. And that unfortunately, sometimes people just view this as a very, you know, they give respect, they stand up, you know, they a little bit move in their chair. You know, it doesn't. It's almost chasar mashma'ut to a certain extent. And what's really behind it is the real respect, like getting up and giving someone your seat. That's a whole different meaning of it. And to a certain extent, the Gemara is so tedious, and they talk a lot about the standing up, and some people take that very literally. And, okay, so I stood up, I did my respect. But that's not really what it's all about, and that there's a lot more behind it. And that's why I think the Gemara, particularly in this area, brings lots of stories, because you want to use the stories to really get at what's behind the whole thing, and what kind of, you know, like what you talked about yesterday, stuff with the rabbis pouring the wine, and the, you know, the whole thing about what's going on. You want to, it's more than just that.
Would it be disrespect? Would it be, who is a Talmid Chacham, and, well, this person I don't think is, so I don't think that's
so that's one of the things I wanted to talk about that isn't mentioned. What's interesting here is that it's barely mentioned. We'll see a little bit, but it's barely mentioned is, what do you call, how do you know if someone's a Talmid Chacham? Even Zaken and Seva, what age? Right? What age does it have to do with physical condition? That you were just asking that.
If somebody would get up for me on a bus, I would be really...
Right, you'd be insulted, right? Exactly. So that's another issue, which is, you know, do you want to be perceived as a zakein? So anyway, there's a whole big question. The Mepharshim, there's a machloket, by the way, about what age it starts. But the Gemara doesn't relate to it all. You think about the Gemara, it gets into so many details, and it doesn't talk about exactly who's a Talmid Chacham and who's not, and, you know, which I guess is a little bit harder to measure. Now, age should be a very clear thing the Gemara should talk about. So obviously, what's it based on? Perkei Avot. When it says, Ben Shishim Lezikna and Ben Shivim Lezeva. So then the question becomes, Is it shishim or shivim? So there's a machloket whether it's shishim or shivim. Okay? So that's interesting. But it's interesting that it doesn't even talk about it in the Gemara. And the other thing really is, you know, what's the hierarchy when it comes to Talmid Chacham? We'll see a little bit of that today, although it doesn't address it head on. And, you know, depending, if you're a Talmid Chacham and someone else is a Talmid Chacham, how do you gauge who's standing for who? Okay?
I thought if somebody would feel that they were disrespected because they weren't, that you were disrespecting the person you weren't standing for, so would you stand more for somebody than another person? Like,
if you stand for one person, then it's offending somebody else, you're saying. Right. So it's also...
Or if you don't stand for them, then they're offended.
So first of all, that's also... By the way, I wanted to mention this thing about the Baalei Omaniyot. There's different Piskei Halacha about this. Is this only if you work for your... And I'll relate to something you said in a minute. Is it only if you work for somebody else? Because it's not your time to be, you know... If you're getting up, you're basically not doing work for somebody else. What if you're self-employed? Then maybe you can stand up because it's your own issue. Some people say, no, even if you're self-employed, you don't have to, because then if you stand up and someone else doesn't stand up, it's going to look like, oh, you're standing up, they're not standing up, and it's going to make them look bad. So that there's a lot of this also, making other people look bad and how it's perceived. And it's very tricky, this whole thing. Okay. Right. So in Pirkei Avos, they specifically have Seva and Zakein, which is, and here they look at it right. Exactly. So it's
not according to Chachamim, it's according to...
Well, it could be, no, because it could be, you could say Zakein is Shishim, because you have a certain amount of Chochmah that you've
got.
It could be that Zikna has to do with Chochmah. You've amassed life experience, which gives you a certain amount of Chochmah.
They're not referring to life experiences. They're talking about Chochmah.
Right, so we'll see that they are talking. They are going to talk about life experience soon. You'll see. Okay? So, as usual, the sugyot are not super organized, because they're going to talk about things, and they're going to talk about them later, and they're going to talk about them in other contexts. And, you know, the idea is to afterwards come and look at the whole picture and kind of fit it all together. But it's not, you know, sometimes they're very organized. Sometimes there's all bits and pieces kind of, you know, in all different places because different people had different thoughts about it, which you can imagine. In this kind of area, there'd be a lot of different opinions about it. Okay. Amarmar. Yachol ya'amor. Amarmar always means we're quoting something we referenced before. Yachol ya'amor mipana bibeit ha'kisei mibeit ha'merchatz. So now they say, velo. He was in the Beit Merchatz. First of all, we always think of Rabbi Chiya as this big rabbi. Now we're going to see that Rabbi Shimon Bar Rebbe came, the son of Rabbi Shimon, he came. And Rabbi Chiya didn't stand up before him. And he got very upset. Shimon Bar Rebbe said, I can't believe Rabbi Chiya is not standing up before me. So you see, big Talmid Chacham also needs to stand up for another big Talmid Chacham. And he went and said to his father, I taught him 2/5 of Sefer Tehillim. By the way, Sefer Tehillim, those of you who know, is split up into fifths, 5 books. Okay, so he's saying, I taught him 2 of those books. I was thinking, by the way, about the importance of Sefer Tehillim we were talking about the other day. Here's another sugya where it puts Sefer Tehillim in a very prominent place. We have to keep it in mind if we see it come up in other places. Viloama mipanai. I can't believe I taught him 2/5 of Sefer Tehillim and he didn't stand up for me. And this was in the Beit HaMerchatz. So what do you see? Even in the Beit HaMerchatz. Vitu, and here's another story of the same exact thing, but different people. Bar Kapara, Va'amri le Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Yossi. Okay, it's unclear who this was. Havayati be'maschuta. He was in the bathhouse, one of those two rabbis, right? They don't remember the story anymore exactly who was who. Who was there. Ava Azar Rabbi Shimon bar Rabbi. Again, the story is about Rabbi Shimon bar Rabbi. He walks into the Beit HaMerchatz. Ve'lo kami kameh. Ve'ikpidin. He didn't get up, and he got angry. Va'ata amar le'lavua, he went and said to his father, Shnei shlishe shlish shaniti lo b'tarat kohanim. Okay, Tarat kohanim is the midrash halacha on Sefer Vayikra, and apparently was split up into 9 parts. Okay, so he says, I taught him 2 out of those 9 parts. V'lo amam mipanai, amar lo, shema behen yoshevu maharher. So what does his father say to him? V'idam l'chaschut. Maybe he was dafka thinking about those 2/9 of Torah Kohanim. He was busy focusing and learning Torah and, you know, thinking about Torah. He was in the Beit HaMerchatz, what we're going to talk about in a minute. What do you mean? You can't be Mahara in the Beit HaMerchatz. But anyway, maybe he was focusing on that and didn't notice you come in. So therefore, don't be so upset with him. Tama de Bahen Yoshevu Maharher. And so now, what do you see from here, though? The reason that they didn't need to stand was because they didn't notice him, right? But, Halapachi, but if they had noticed, if the person had noticed, Rabbi Shimon Bar Rebbe, lo, you know, halavachi lo, lo, right? He would have had to stand up, and he wouldn't have been putter. So now, what do you see? That you have to stand in the Beit HaMerchatz. So what do they answer? Lo kasha, habe batei gavai, habe batei barai. There's two areas. There's the waiting rooms, and there's the inner rooms. In the inner rooms, people aren't dressed. That's where it's not appropriate. But in the waiting rooms, the locker room area, you know, the, there, it's more appropriate to stand up in, out of respect. Hachinami mistabra, it also sounds like it from here, to Amar Rabba Rechana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, b'kol makom mutar laharher, chutz mi Beit HaMerchatz u'Beit HaKiseh. What does it say? You can't be maharher in the Beit HaMerchatz or the Beit HaKiseh. You can't think Divrei Torah. So therefore, it's all the more so, this would support our claim. Because obviously, they weren't in the inner room of the Beit HaMerchatz where you're not allowed to have hirurim because you're naked, but you're in the outer room, right? So obviously, they must have been in the outer room, which proves our point. So now they say, no, not necessarily. Dilma la'on seishane. It could be that they weren't trying to be maharher, but they couldn't get it out of their minds, right? Sometimes when you really try to get something out of your mind, it's not possible. So it could be they were so focused on this Torah, he's claiming, that they didn't notice him coming in, and they couldn't even block their hiruim. So that doesn't necessarily prove that it was in the outer room and not the inner room, but in any case, it sounds like a good answer. They're just saying it's not a good proof. Which I think they're trying to make a point, by the way, about hiruim and about thinking about Torah, and that sometimes it's not so easy always to get your thoughts out of your head, even when you're supposed to. Okay, Yachol Yatzim Einav Kamishal Ra'ahu. You might have thought that you could pretend you don't see him, and therefore, right, it says V'yareita, you have to fear God, so don't pretend you didn't see him. So now they say, what are you talking about? Atubur Rishias Kinan? What, you're talking about Rishayim? We're trying to avoid doing mitzvah? Ella, what does it mean? Yachol Yatzim Einav Mikame Delimtie Zman Chiyuva. Tuchimata Zman Chiyuva Halo Chazele. Tekai Mikame. Talmud Lomar Takum V'yareita. What it means is, obviously, once the chiyuv comes to your hand, you know, we talked about that he has to be within a certain amount of space. We'll talk about exactly how much space, because if it's too far away, then there's no issue of hidur. So now they're going to say, well, maybe that it's not that the guy was in your space where you're supposed to already stand up for him and you're going to pretend you didn't see him. It's that when you see him coming far away, you're going to avoid seeing him even when he comes close. In other words, already you see him far away when you're not actually chayav yet. And then maybe you're going to try to avoid and pretend you just didn't see him, and therefore wouldn't be mechayav in the wouldn't be chayav in the mitzvah, and therefore it's telling you takum piyareta. Don't try to avoid doing a mitzvah. That's even in a way that would be maybe technically mutar for you. Okay, Tana, another source, a Tanaitic source. Ezohi ki mashiyesh bahidur heveomir. Now we're going to get into the distance. Zed dalet amot. Okay, this is a famous measurement we always talk about, right? Within your four amot. Okay, if you see him within four amot of you, then you have to stand up. Amrabai, lo maran ela barabosha eno mufak. This is only talking about a rav she'eno mufak. Aval barabo amufak. If it's his rebbe, you taught him everything he knows. Melo enav. You have to stand for him even if he's at a far distance. As long as you can see him, you already have to stand up for him. Abai, mechi avachaze le odne de chamre de rav Yosef. When he would see the ears of the chamor of rav Yosef. Remember, rav Yosef was his rabbi who he always argues with, and then sometimes he reminds him of things. Remember, Rabbi Yosef started losing his mind at the end, toward the end of his life, so, and he can't remember things, and then Rabbi always reminds him of things. So when he saw the ears of the chamor of Rabbi Yosef da'ate, havakai, it was coming, havakai mabaye, okay, he would stand up already. Havarachiv chamra v'kamaske aguda denahar, sorry, havakai, period. Now Abaye himself, when he would be rochiv chamor v'kamaske aguda denahar, we get to the bank of the river. Oh, sorry, that's what Sagya is. I was trying to figure out. Right. He would get to the, it was the name of the river. Dinahar Sagya. He got to the banks of the river. Yatav Rav Masharshi of Rabbanan B'idach Gisa. These rabbis were on the other side of the river. V'lokamu mikamen. They didn't stand up before him. Amar Lahu, he screams to them, V'lav Rav Mufak Ana. Am I not your Rav Mufak that you have to get up for me even if you see me from across the river? Amule Lav Adatin. Okay, what does this mean? Okay, we didn't know, we didn't see, we didn't, it's unclear exactly what they did in whatever, but either they're saying we didn't see you or we didn't know we had to stand for you from so far away. Okay, but what do you see here? Now, the Mepharshim talk about if it's your Rav Muvhak, everybody knows that he's your Rav, and therefore it is Hidur. Now, what do we say? It's not Hidur if he's not within your close proximity. But when it's your Rav Muvhak, then it is Hidur, even if it's far away. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer. Minayim lezaken shelo yatriach, Talmud lomar zaken v'yareta. So now we're talking about the zaken himself, that he has to try to not bother people. Amar Abaye, Naktina, Di'i Makif, one sec. Right, Di'i Makif, Chai Abayim, we know that if he's mekif, in other words, he goes around in a way that won't bother a lot of people to stand up, he will live long, a long life. Abai makif, Rabbi Zera makif, okay, these were people who made sure to go around so that people wouldn't have to stand before them. It's interesting. Abai was so careful to make sure all his talmidim stood up for him from across the river, but yet when he walked on the street, he tried to go around so that people wouldn't have to, he wouldn't have to bother people. Could be he treated things like Rabbi Mufak as a whole different category. And he thought that you really have to be makpid. Ravina Havayativ Kameja Rabbi Yirmiyah Midifti. Okay, he was sitting before Rabbi Yirmiyah. Chalaf Hahu Gavra Kamei below Michse Reshe. A person walked by and didn't have his hair covered. Amar, so Ravina says, now we talked about hair covering the other day, about remembering that the Shechina is above you. Here they seem to be talking about that there was this issue that people would cover their hair out of respect for somebody else. So the idea was here this guy walked in front of Rabbi Yirmiyah Midifti and he didn't have his hair covered that, as a sign of respect for Rabbi Yirmiyah. So now what do they say? Amar, so Ravina, the student, says, Kama chatzif ha-gavra. How chutz b'dik, that he walked in front of you and didn't have his hair covered. Amalei, dilma mimata machastin yu, degise barabanan. Okay, so now it's unclear exactly what this means, but it could be they're saying maybe, again, he was trying to be down the chavschut. Here we see all these stories where, on the one hand, people got angry. On the other hand, people tried to calm them down and say, don't take this so seriously, which very much, you know, we see in our lives that there's people who are very machpid on kavod. And sometimes you want to tell them, like, chill out a little, you know. And so on the one hand, these sugyas are trying to tell you have to be very extra careful to be makpid on your kibbutz, on your, you know, having kavod. On the other hand, they're telling the person who thinks he's deserving of kavod, try to lower your expectations and don't expect so much kavod. So here comes the rabbi, and he says, well, maybe the guys from a city, where there's so many talmidei chachamim, this is one of the explanations of gisei barabanan, that people are just used to them, and they don't have, it's a different level of respect when almost everyone's a talmid chacham, so your level of respect that you need to give each and every person is less. You know, it's, you're kind of used to it. So that's why maybe he didn't cover his head when he saw me. Like I said, there's other explanations about it also, how to translate that. Isi ben Yehuda omer mipnei seva takum va'afilu kol seva b'mashma. Now he has the explanation that it's any zaken. Amar Rabbi Yochanan halacha ki Isi ben Yehuda. Okay, the halacha is like him that we have to stand before any old person. Rabbi Yochanan habakai mikayim sabe da'aramai. Okay, Rabbi Yochanan would stand up even for non-Jewish old people. Okay, Amar kama harpatkai adu alayhu. Okay, here we get to the life experience. How many things must have happened to this person? He's an old person. Therefore, out of respect for, he must have a lot of life experience. And now we get into this concept of just by having life experience, right? You're non-Jewish even. He thought that it was appropriate to stand up for him. By the way, it's paskin lahalacha, you don't need to, but it is shown in the sugyot that he did. Okay? Dehane Rava Mikhaim, one second. Dehane Rava Mekam Lokai Hidor Avid Lihu. Okay, one second. So they're saying here that Rava Mekam Lokai. Rava, okay, coming after Rabbi Yochanan a few generations later, he didn't stand up for them, but Hidor Avid Lihu. He would do some sort of small gesture to show respect. And that's, he wouldn't actually stand up all the way. This is maybe where people get into this, you know, you move in your seat a little bit. Okay, but this is for non-Jewish people, not for Jewish people, but he's saying he would do a little something. Abaye yahiv yada lesabe. Okay, he would give his hand to people to help them. Here we start to see all different methods of kibud. Okay, he would give them his hand to help them maybe across the street or something. Rava mishadir shluche. Rava wouldn't do it himself, but he would send his shlichim to go do something to help them. Rav Nachman Meshadir Gozai, he would send also the people who worked for him. Rav Nachman, by the way, if you remember, his daughter was married to the Resh Galuta. So he obviously had all these workers who worked for him. He lived in this, you know, more prestigious kind of lifestyle. So he would send his people to do it. Amar, Ilav Torah, Kamaro Nachman Bar Abi Ika Beshuka. He said, I'm not going to waste my time doing this. And here's an interesting approach. But, okay, first of all, the assumption is we're talking about non-Jewish people. So you could see where they would make a little bit, it's actually not clear. Actually, that's not 100% true. It's unclear whether you're talking about non-Jewish or Jewish people in this context. But also, he's saying, if it weren't for my Torah, there'd be a lot of people like me walking around in the shuk. So what makes me unique is my Torah, and if I stop my Torah to do this, hidur mipnei zkenim, then I will lose my, you know, I won't have what makes me unique. So he would send people to do it for him, right? So we can question whether this is appropriate, not appropriate. Again, there's a difference between whether he's sitting in the Beit Midrash or he's walking on the street. In other words, when he's sitting in the Beit Midrash, he shouldn't have to get up and stop his Torah learning. But maybe it would be different if he were not sitting learning at the time. Amar Rav Aibu, Amar Rav Yanai, Ein Talmid Chacham Rashai La'amo Mipnei Rabo, Ela Shacharit V'Arvit, Kedoy Shelo Yiyeh Kvodo Merubeh Mikvod Shamayim. Here's a great line. How much do we respect Kvod Shamayim? We say Kriyat Shema once in the morning and once in the evening. So if we're going to respect God twice a day in terms of accepting Kabbalat Omechut Shamayim, so then we shouldn't respect Talmidei Chachamim more than God. So therefore, we should only get up for Talmid Chacham. Okay, so now the assumption is this isn't a place. So now there's a whole debate about when this comes up. But let's say this is in a yeshiva, and the Rosh Yeshiva walks in. So you get up once for him in the morning, once for him in the evening, and that's it. You don't have to get up every single time he walks in, right? You can imagine also in a Beit Midrash, it'll be impossible to learn. You're always getting up and moving. Every time somebody moves, it's going to affect everybody's learning. So they limited it to twice a day. Meitive, but now they're going to question this. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Minayin lezaken shelo yatriach. Didn't we just say that the zaken has to be careful not to be matriach anashim? Talmud lomar zaken v'yareta. V'yamart, and if you're going to say shacharit v'arvi bilvad, amai lo nitrach chiyuvahu. In other words, let him bother people. He's only going to bother them anyway twice a day, so they'll get up from twice a day. They're supposed to get up from twice a day. So what did it say? Elalav kule yoma. Right, so doesn't it imply from here that all day you have to get up? So then they say, lo. No, not necessarily. Lo olam shacharif arvit bilvad, v'afilu hachi kama de'efshar le'lo nitrach. And now they say, no, it's only twice a day, but even so, they should still be careful not to bother people, even those twice a day. Because if you think about it also, if it's them, right, and every other old person that's walking about, so people are going to have to be getting up, even though they only have to get up twice a day, they're going to have to get up twice a day times multiplied by all the people they're going to see. So therefore, the zakenim should still be careful not to bother people or the tamidei chachamim. Amar Rabbi Elazar, kol tamid chacham she'eino mei bifnei rabo, nikra rasha, ve'eino ma'arich yamim, v'tamudo mishtakach. Okay, now you have these statements where people try to say, what's going to happen to you if you don't do this? And again, right, they don't seem to be playing God. They don't necessarily know that they're God and they could know. But what are they trying to do? They're trying to get people to take this halacha seriously. Often, by the way, we have to do this in cases when people aren't taking it seriously. So they make these statements to make people fearful, and obviously they're going to connect this to a pasuk. Okay, so if you don't do this, this is what's going to happen to you. You're going to be called a rasha. You're not going to live a long life. And your Talmud will be forgotten. You could see, by the way, the connection of all these things, right? Rasha may be a little less so, but you're not Ma'arich Yamim, because here you're not respecting people who have Arichut Yamim, right? The Zkenim. And you're Talmidom Shakach, because you're not respecting the Talmidei Chachamim, so therefore you obviously don't have enough respect for Torah, and your Torah is going to be forgotten. Where do they learn this from? Shneamar, B'tov lo yeh l'rasha v'lo yeh Arich Yamim, katzel asher einenu yirei milipnei Elohim. So now they're going to darshan this pasuk. It's a pasuk in Kohelet. So they're calling him a rasha. It says lo yarich yamim, right? So mora zo eni yodea mahu. So number one, they say eneni yarei milifnei Elohim. What kind of year are we talking about here? Kishu omer v'yareta me'alohecha harei mora zo kima. So now they're going to say, we're going to connect the yirah in this pasuk to the yirah in the yareta me'alohecha in our pasuk, and say that what must be the subject of this? It's someone who's not respectful of a zakin. Ve'ema mora ribita mora mishkalot. Why don't we say that it's the ribit and the mishkalot where we also have the pasuk v'yareta me'alohecha? So Rabbi Elazar pene gamar. He learned this gzereshava between the word pene and pene. By us it says v'hadarta pene zaken, and here it says einenu yarei milifnei Elohim. So they darshan both the yarei and the pene, and they say this pasuk must be talking about someone who's not respecting this kenim or the talmidei chachamim. Now they ask a question. What if the son is the teacher of his father? So does he have to stand before his father if he's the teacher? Tashma, good question, right? Seems typical Gemara question. Tashma da'amar le'shmuel le'rav Yehuda. Shmuel said to Rav Yehuda, whose father was Rav Yechezkel, okay, but Rav Yechezkel was a student of his sons. So he calls him Shinina. We've seen this before where they called him Shinina. Dafka by Rav Yehuda also. Right, smart child. Kum mekame avicha. Okay, get up in front of your father. So what do you see here? He had to get up in front of his father, even though he was the teacher. So now they say, no, Shani Rabbi Chezkel de Baal Masim Hava. He was a Baal Masim. In other words, yes, he wasn't the biggest Talmid Chacham, but he did a lot of good deeds and therefore was deserving of respect. How do we know this? Afilamar Shmuel, even Shmuel, Nami Kai Mikamei. Okay, he even would stand up before him. And Shmuel, you know, we know is the great. Elamai ka'amrle, hachi ka'amrle. So what was he saying to him? Zimnin da'ate me'achorai. So what was Shmuel saying to him? He was saying that sometimes he'll, what was this? Shmuel was teaching Rav Yehuda, because he was Rav Yehuda's teacher, and Rav Yehuda was Rav Yechezkel's teacher. Now, he's saying sometimes when I'm teaching you, your father might come behind me and I won't see him. So kum at mikame velo tichush liyakare didi. Even if I'm in the room and I don't see him and I don't stand up for him, but you should still stand up for him, even though I'm here and it might look like, and this is what Judy was pointing out before, it might look like you're not respecting me because you're standing up for somebody else, but still you should stand up for your father. Okay? Ibai lehu, binovuhu rabo, maushi amod avim mipanav. Maybe the father, though, also has to stand up for, like Rabbi Chezkel maybe would have to stand up for Rabbi Yehuda if he's his teacher. Tashma de Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Let's learn it from here, because Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, "Ani eini kedai la'amod mipnei bini, ela mishum kvo beit nasi." It's not. I don't need to stand up before my son only because of the kvo beit nasi. That's why I have to stand up for my son. So what do you learn from here? Tama de Ana Rabbi ha'iu Rabbi ka'amina mikame. It's. He seems to be implying that I don't have to stand up for him because he's not my rabbi. But if he were my rabbi, maybe I would. Which doesn't really say that there, but that's what they're implying. So now they're saying, no. Hachi kamar. Ani eini kedai la'amod mipnei bani va'afilu hu rabbi. Right? I don't need to stand up before my son, even if he's my rabbi. Deha ana avua, because I'm his father. But there's some, in other words, it wouldn't help if he was my rabbi. But what does it help? Because of the kvo beit hanasi, l'mishum kvo beit hanasi, then I need to stand up for him. Okay? We'll stop here for today. We'll catch up tomorrow. Okay, tomorrow we're going to get into mitzvot aseh shasman grama and all the women's stuff. Okay? It's actually not such a long daf, so we'll be able to finish up this and hopefully get to the end of tomorrow's daf. Okay? So stay tuned. Make sure to come. The interesting things to say.
8 o'clock
here.